We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. And big show coming up today. We are going to look back at the Virginia Tech matchup. Adam said we had to, so we're gonna. Adam, a little off the wall guest today.
Michael Jackson?
That would be a heck of a guest.
Off the wall.
We're going to the world of esports, Adam. Professional Madden player user. It's his name. Just user. He's going to join us today. We're going to talk about just exactly how that happens.
I know you may be skeptical when you hear that description. I got to tell you, it really was interesting to talk to User and find out how that happened for him.
Yeah, it's just a different life than you and I lead.
Also, User, good old North Carolinian.
Yep, that's right. In North Carolina. And it's also like a commentator for esports on ESPN and different stuff. So, again, a little different, but think you'll enjoy it.
You have to remember that Jones is big in the video game world.
Yeah, I've got a lot of cred.
Once Brandon Robinson taught him how to shoot with the buttons, his profile exploded.
Got a lot of street cred out there on the mean streets of the internet when it comes to gaming. So we're good there. We have our ticket giveaway. We have a list.
Yes.
We'll revisit Tar Heel action from this past weekend. All coming up. Now, Adam, I'm going to tell you something. I was on the ride home after the Virginia Tech game. I have to give a special gold star to Lee Pace because Lee had pre-grilled a bunch of chicken legs.
Whoa.
And so we had like a cooler of chicken legs that we could eat on the way home, which I have to tell you was welcome. Because, Adam, if we hadn't had the chicken legs, I mean, what was I going to eat, right? Because I couldn't, since we were in the car, hearken my friends at GoPuff.
Right. They don't do that yet.
Right. If I had been sitting there on my couch, probably drowning my sorrows in cookies and milk after the game, I'd have been like, you know what? I've eaten all the cookies and drank all the milk. I need GoPuff to hook me up here. And good news, GoPuff delivers in minutes. You don't even have to get up off the couch. Great on game day. And so many different things. Laundry. First day of classes, you need some supplies. You're studying late. You're up late doing other things. Snacks, drinks, cleaning stuff, school supplies, tons more. Give it a shot. And you can use the code VARSITY at checkout for $10 off your first two orders. That's VARSITY, V-A-R-S-I-T-Y. Get $10 off your first two orders. Order minimum may apply, and that offer is valid through January 1st, 2022.
My son has declared that he is going to try GoPuff, so I'll report back.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so don't forget to use the code.
Oh, yeah, I told him, yeah. And he knows he gets two orders. So if the first order, you know, anything can happen with that first order.
Sure.
It's the second order that really establishes the baseline for this service.
The chicken legs hit. They hit. That was the best part. That was the best part about Friday, quite honestly, were the chicken legs. And that, of course, is because things didn't go the way the Tar Heels wanted. They fell 17-10, and they were just knocked back at the beginning of that game. I do think Carolina played much closer to the team we thought they would be for the last second half, and you could even maybe stretch it out to three quarters. I mean, the defense only allowed 93 yards in the second half. So it was not a great start in any facet of the game. The defense rebounded and gave Carolina a chance to win, and actually, I thought at times looked pretty good. Like, you can, I hope you can get through the disappointment and see why we are excited about this Tar Heel defense, because I think it's going to be good. The offense moved the ball better in the second half, but never looked like it was in rhythm or comfortable. Of course, there were the three turnovers. The one that was taken away after the catch was already made by Justin Olsen. Olsen had the ball. I thought he was down with the ball, but he had it taken out of his hands. There was one that was, of course, tipped up at the line of scrimmage and intercepted, and then on the final, what ended up not the final play of the game, but the play that finished the Tar Heel chances, where Hal was trying to get away in the final minute and threw a pick, trying to throw the ball away. So, of course, you're going to have three turnovers on the second half. It's going to be hard to win. But, Adam, the pressure that Virginia Tech was able to apply was the difference in the game, because Carolina, I thought, never, ever looked comfortable offensively, and Virginia Tech's pressure was the biggest reason why.
Brian Anderson didn't play at center, which it felt like, and Mack Brown said on Monday, caused some communication issues, and he felt like Brian Anderson's very important to what Carolina's trying to do on the offensive line. But still, you're snapping the ball to a veteran quarterback who's seen a little bit of everything, but it never looked like that veteran quarterback, Sam Howell, was very comfortable with what was going on. You certainly missed all the big play threats from last year, four guys who could pretty much score a touchdown anytime you got them the ball. And the only player who looked like that on Friday was Josh Downs offensively, who did score a touchdown when the Tar Heels got him the ball. But other than Josh Downs, it was a struggle offensively.
Yeah, 9 catches, 132 yards, and the touchdown for Downs. Mack Brown also said that, and we can put some Mack Brown press conference audio in here. I always think that's good just for you to be able to hear straight from him what he said. So we'll put that in here in a little bit. But, you know, Downs, 9 catches, 132 in the touchdown. Mack Brown said he felt like the two running backs who played a majority of the game, Ty Chandler and DJ Jones, both played well. I do think, Adam, you know, one of the questions was who was going to step in offensively and fill the void left by all those great players. And you got some answers, but I also don't think you got enough answers for Carolina to feel good about where they are right this second. You know, Emory Simmons had some nice moments. Antoine Green had a couple of catches. Garrett Walston had a catch. But you just didn't have that constant production on the outside to match what Downs was doing at the slot position. Of course, Bo Corrales is injured and currently unavailable. You know, Choffrey Brown didn't play a lot. He had been battling an injury in the first part of camp and did not get as many reps, I think, as you may have expected him to get. I don't know if those two things are related. And Carolina's got to figure that answer out, because, and they've got the players, don't get me wrong, but they've got to figure out who else, who can produce there, because they're going to need somebody else.
And Mack Brown touched on this, but just not much of a vertical passing game.
Right.
Sam Howell didn't complete a pass more than 20 yards downfield for only, I think, the third time in his Carolina career. And that means that the defense is all clogging up closer to the line of scrimmage, which is where the Tar Heels were trying to operate, and there just wasn't a whole lot of room there. So got to find somebody who can get open downfield and allow Howell to throw that deep ball that he's so good at throwing that just didn't – it wasn't there for any number of reasons on Friday.
It felt like both sides of like 50-50 balls, either whether Carolina was on offense or on defense, it just felt like Carolina didn't get any of them. And they aren't easy, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you know, Emory Simmons had one hit his hands on fourth down, and there was a defender there, and he had one in the end zone where he got his hands on. Ball was maybe a little underthrown, got his hands on it, couldn't bring it in. There was a long play down the sideline that Virginia Tech hit from Burmeister to Trey Turner, I think, where Kyler McMichael was right there in position but couldn't knock it away. So I don't think Virginia Tech can play any better than it did in the first half, and they had a good plan. They slowed it down. They kept the ball out of Howell's hands. Mack Brown said on Monday he felt like Carolina's offense got frustrated, not one player or one, just the whole deal of, man, this has been so easy the last couple of years, and now, you know, you're not getting a ton of opportunities, and it's not going as smoothly as you want it to or that it has in the past. So certainly credit to Virginia Tech, because I thought, again, the first 30 minutes they played, and maybe not even that long, maybe the first 20 minutes, they played about as well as they could play, got themselves out to that 2-score lead, and then did enough to hold on. The real feeling coming out of this is just deflation, I think, from the disappointment that you didn't give yourself the best chance to go win the ballgame. And Adam, one of the bigger surprises of the game in a negative way was how much Carolina's offensive line struggled, I felt like, in this game. And Mack Brown said he felt like Joshua Zudu and Jordan Tucker had good games on the outside, but there were some issues on the interior of the O-line. And again, Q Johnson was starting, not that it's all his fault or something, but, you know, he was starting at the center position instead of Brian Anderson, who had not been able to go through a full training camp. Awesome Richards, who had been the left tackle for the Tar Heels a large majority of last year, played at the guard spot for a good portion of this game. And so Mack Brown said on Monday, you know, that there were some communication issues there, and that was where some of that pressure came from. Of course, some of it was Virginia Tech just, you know, played well also. So that to me was the biggest disappointment, because we said this, I think, at some point, is Carolina had to have that offensive line, has to have them be good up front to buy them time to figure out the answers at the skill positions so that they can learn who their guys are there. They need that offensive line to be really good, to allow Howell to be really good. All those other things have to help Carolina have time to figure out the answers at the other spots.
And part of those communications issues are you got 60,000 people screaming at you for the first time in 2 years.
Absolutely. I probably underestimated it. I think, and not just Carolina, I think you saw it all over the place, that big time home environments made it difficult for I think Notre Dame and Florida State's another good example. Like a good team that's at home that has the visitor in there playing in front of a full house for the first time in 2 years, that's a it's a challenge. And I do think it affected this game. I think it affected a lot of games this weekend. I know Mac Brown hopes it's going to affect things in a positive way here over the next few weeks, where they're going to get, you know, Georgia State into Keenan Stadium, then Virginia. I don't know. I know Virginia was at home this past week. I don't know off the top of my head right this second if they're at home or away this week. So I think those environments are important. You got to take advantage of your home field, and I think it's a bigger deal this year than it is, at least here at the beginning of the year, than it has been in recent seasons.
And I think Carolina did a good job of preparing for things like the entrance and things like that to make that less of a big deal. But there's not really any way to simulate when the play clock's at 5 seconds and you're trying to tell the right guard that you've just changed the direction of the running play and everybody's yelling and jingling their keys. That's just, you can't simulate that the way you can some of those other things. And I did think that showed up, and not a whole lot you can do about it.
The Virginia game, by the way, will be the first road game the Cavaliers have. They're at home against Illinois this upcoming weekend. So just keep that in mind. But a lot to do before then. So let's hear from Coach Brown. We'll come back and we'll check and see what the Tar Heels did in other sports this weekend. And then we'll get to our interview with a professional Madden player, user, all that coming up. But first, some Coach Brown press conference audio here on the Carolina Insider.
Very disappointing outcome on Friday night. I don't like preseason ratings. I've said that forever. We weren't the 10th best team in the country the way we played Friday night. And it's funny, Virginia Tech gets credit for being a top 10 team. I don't think we were one. So I still think we should all wait till the college football playoff ratings come out. And then you actually get to see what a team has done based on their merits. Ours is based on the improvement we've made, a great quarterback coming back, a lot of guys back on defense, but we lost so many outstanding players on offense, and we didn't do a good job of replacing those on Friday night. So that's still an area that we've got to continue to improve. And I told the guys and the coaches, it's this game's not fun and not worth playing when you lose. You can learn some hard lessons, and you've got to learn from losing and improve. But for your fans, for your university, for your athletics department, for everybody involved, you need to win. And winning is key. It's key to keep your players' attention. It's key for them to learn. You've got to lose some, because we learn to lose in life. And when you do, you've got to overcome that and step back up and not let one loss beat you twice. But winning is very, very important. And I sure don't take that for granted in any way. Offensively, I'll start with defensively. We played better. We started poorly. The first quarter, we didn't do well. We missed some tackles. We aligned wrong. Virginia Tech hit us with a few key passes and a little speed sweep. And we thought they would line up and just try to hammer us. And they did a good job early of changing up their play selection. But we adjusted to that and played really, really well from the second quarter to the fourth quarter, holding them to only 93 yards the second half and only 3 points. And this is a team that had rushed for over 250 yards against us with the same players, except the back, four of the five starters back in the offensive line. They're very good. Quarterback played very well. So really proud of our defense and the way they hung in there and fought, forcing the turnover at the 9-yard line going in when the game could have gotten away. But really proud of our defense and showed signs that we can be really, really good on defense for the first time since we've been here. So that's a huge plus. Special teams, we gained some advantage in punt. We nearly blocked a couple of punts. We still didn't get done what we needed to get done. We didn't block a punt. We didn't get our punt returned. People have asked about kickoff returns. Most people now are fair catching them. When you see a kicker like ours that kicks most of the balls out of the past the goal line, so people aren't going to return them anyway. Virginia Tech's guy was about 70% over the goal line. So if 7 out of every 10 of his kicks are going to be too deep to return, we fair caught one. I think the rest of them were over the head. So most people are doing that. You can go back and check the stats. I think last year The guys that fair caught, all of them, were about fifth in the country in returns, because the kickers are so good now and they're kicking it so high, and people have such good players. They're covering so fast, it's hard to return them past the 25. So most people have gone to a philosophy of just fair catching, and that's what the rules committee wanted. They wanted safety in kickoff returns, and you got two groups that are running 40 yards apart and hitting each other. There were a lot of concussions on kickoff coverage and kickoff return, so fewer people are returning them in that phase. Was proud that Grayson Atkins kicked a pressured field goal that kept us in the game, and I thought Ben Kieran did a really good job with our punt, and our punt mechanics were good, and our coverage was good. They had minus 1 yard return. We did have the 15 yard penalty with face mask with Obi. Offensively, we're just disappointed. We didn't know what to expect going into the game. You have a great quarterback. You have your offensive line, even though with Brian Anderson out, we're not the same. You've got the same tight ends, but you're not sure at running back or wide receiver. Josh Downs, as advertised, played great. I was really, really proud of him. He competed and made plays throughout the game and kept us in the game, really. We got to get him some help outside. We didn't catch contested balls outside, really on either side. They hit a deep ball with Thompson and Kyler McMichael, and Kyler had him covered, and he caught the ball. With us, we didn't. We had two or three balls that we didn't catch that we had a chance to catch that were deep. And then Justin Olsen had one taken out of his hands. I thought it was after he hit the ground, but it doesn't matter. They didn't even review it. So, we didn't make the contested catches outside, and we didn't keep them from doing it the same way. Offensively, we had miscommunication in the offensive line. We moved Awesome Richards in, and then he and Q had not worked together as much, so we had some miscommunications issue, and thought Virginia Tech's crowd was a factor. They did a super job of making it hard to hear. It's one of the best environments I've ever seen, so give them credit for that. But we had too many tackles for loss. We had too many bad plays on first down, which put us in third and long. We were 2 of 10s in third downs. We had the 3 turnovers and really and truly the 3 interceptions. Only the last one was Sam's issue. The one was a tip ball that we've got to do a better job of keeping the defensive lineman's hands down. Another one was a ball taken out of Justin's arms that was caught by Justin. And then the last one, he was trying to throw the ball out of bounds, but he had pressure when we were going to win the game and couldn't get the ball out of bounds. So thought all of us were frustrated offensively, because we've moved the ball so easily through the last 2 years, and it didn't happen on Friday night. Much better second half than first half offensively, but we'd get to the 30, the 20, and stall. We were 1 for 1 in the red zone, where our defense was held Virginia Tech 2 for 4 in the red zone. We've got to improve offensively. So we've got to find other receivers to step up and help Josh Downs. I did think the running backs did a good job, and the offensive line's got to get more consistent and take pressure off Sam. I'm sure Sam feels frustrated that he tried to win the game too by himself. And we've just got to play. We're not going to be the same offense we've been for the last 2 years, but we've still got to figure out who we are moving forward. Josh Azudu and Jordan Tucker played well. I thought the running backs played well, and Josh Downs played well offensively. Most people played well on defense. We chased the ball. We played a lot of different people. I was proud of what we saw on defense a lot more than what we saw on offense. Analytics are interesting. I saw people criticizing Mike Norvell last night for going for 4th and 2 at the minus 33 and not making it. Analytics gives us a grading sheet every Sunday after we have a weekend ball game. And they said we should have gone for the first 4th and 2 after the halftime from the minus 33, and then another set of downs, we were at the minus 33, and they should have said we should have gone for a 4th and 2 on our own 33-yard line in the third quarter. Well, when you're not blocking people, analytics aren't there to watch it. So you got to be smart. You got to be careful. We've got to do a better job when we try to pull them off sides on a fourth and two. We can either let the clock run out, but I didn't want to lose yards. We wasted a timeout right before the half. So we've got to do a better job of getting the offense off the field and getting the punt team on the field so we don't waste a timeout, because we would have had another timeout with some opportunities right before the half. Some people have asked why you hold your timeouts till the end. Number one, I want the clock to be down to the end when we score. I don't want to leave any time on it. Number two, you can run a lot of plays with three timeouts with 37 seconds left. And that's when Sam threw the interception. So I'd like to have it where we can spend time and talk about the play when we need to. We knew what play we wanted to run with 50-something seconds left. So that's just a philosophy that we have moving forward.
So Tar Heels, 7:30 on Saturday against Georgia State. It is the first meeting between those two in football. Georgia State had a tough beginning to its season as well. Lost to Army pretty one-handed or one-sided fashion in its opener. And Georgia State, though, went to a bowl game, won a bowl game a year ago. A lot of talent back from that team. Beat East Carolina last season. Played really tight with App State and Louisiana. Two good teams last year. Beat Tennessee in Tennessee a couple of years ago. So, I mean, this is a team that is very capable. They lost ugly to Army. I understand that. But this is a capable team who, like the Tar Heels, is disappointed with the way things started and will be looking for a much better performance. So, this is a game that needs Carolina's attention. And it has it. There's no doubt.
It does now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And Mac Brown said, you know, it. Of course, yes, it's Georgia State, but Tar Heels have plenty to focus on about themselves. So, yes. And I would expect Carolina to be a lot better. I do think we've said this every year, I think. I do think the old you improve the most between week one and week two, I think it's absolutely true. I think that is where you get the most needed feedback, and you just get a lot better. So I would expect to see the Tar Heels play a lot better, and they'll need to have a solid performance. They can't go out here and sleepwalk and expect to win.
And you can make adjustments to who is actually on the field, who is making those plays.
Yes, absolutely.
That you didn't know going into game one. Some Tar Heels who Mac Brown mentioned in that press conference, you'll see more of on Saturday.
Yeah, and some of the younger guys didn't play a ton, and I'm not hugely surprised by that. I mean, the atmosphere was part of it. I think, you know, younger players, it takes a couple of weeks for them to get into it. And I just think the more this season goes along, you're going to start seeing some more and more talented young players on both sides of the ball that are going to start showing up more and more often. And so hopefully that you see a little bit more this week in week two compared to week one. All right, Adam, football not the only sport competing. And while it was a frustrating weekend for the football Heels, a lot of Carolina teams had success this weekend. What else did we see out there on the Tar Heel fields of competition?
Tar Heels pretty much cleaned up and everything else. Women's soccer went 2-0 last week. The big one was on Sunday, a 2-1 win over number 10 Stanford. You may know, if you've heard Anson Dorrance on here before, how he feels about Stanford. Picture how Roy Williams feels about NC State, and then imagine that they were playing on a national stage multiple times recently. You'd have to have a big imagination to imagine Carolina's playing NC State in basketball on a national stage, but work with me! Tar Heels beat Stanford 2-1. Macy Bell with the game winner in extra time. First win over Stanford since 2012. You know Anson Dorrance loved that. Aaron Mattson news!
Yeah. Should just be a recurring segment.
Tar Heel field hockey 1-2. They beat Princeton on Friday and then beat Penn on Sunday. And in that Penn match, Aaron Mattson became the program's all-time leader in goals and in points. She had 4 goals in the game on Sunday. She's got 87 for her career, 221 points for her career. They'll go on the road to Philadelphia this weekend. Men's soccer, number 5 in the country. They beat Georgia Southern on Friday, 3-0. They played Davidson last night. We're not going to tell you who won because we don't want to spoil it. You might have it recorded on your DVR. And how about volleyball? Joe Segula, they're 6-0 for the first time since 2016. Big win over Colorado State on Friday, where the Tar Heels lost the first two sets and then came back to win 3-2. Also beat Wofford and ECU. Going on the road to play our Big Ten Alliance friends, Michigan State and Michigan, this coming weekend. So those will be big matches.
Just a couple more things I was thinking about football-wise when you were talking about that. Talking about week one. I mean, you saw it across the country. It's week one is weird. And there were some weird scores, both on some teams that were able to hold on, like Iowa State, for example, who's really highly ranked here early in the year. You know, barely beat Northern Iowa 16-10. And then you saw a lot of teams lose some head scratchers, including in the league. You know, Georgia Tech lost to Northern Illinois. Duke lost to Charlotte. You saw, I think, Washington and Washington State both lost at home against teams that you wouldn't expect them to lose to. It's not always easy.
Clemson looked un-Clemson-ish.
Yeah.
We understand they were playing a very good team in Georgia. Tony Barnhart's number one team in the country. just a weird week. I got a question for you. What do you think is going on with all these fights at games?
Oh, well, I think it's a couple different things.
And I'm not talking about on the field.
You're talking about in the stands.
Yeah.
Well, number one is alcohol and the overconsumption of alcohol.
Right.
Number two is I think people are absolutely losing their minds going out into these events after not going to these type of events for a couple of years, which sometimes will increase problem one. And then, and this is more of a societal discussion, Adam.
Oh, good.
I think that all of a sudden everyone is so black and white, right? And by that I mean it's like you're either here, you're either with me or you're against me. And my identity is with what I like. And then when I've had too much to drink and what I like doesn't go well, and then I get my feelings hurt because it makes me look worse, and then it's time to start throwing down. So, I mean, I think you saw it, honestly, I don't remember in the NBA where we had that stretch where, like, people kept, you know, like, putting their hands on players and there were fights. I mean, just, like, stuff that people should know better than to do. But I do think it is that trio of doing things that sometimes cause you not to have the best judgment. The fact that people are out and about for the first time in a while in these big emotionally charged scenarios, and the fact that everybody is it's so self-defining to people right now what they choose to believe in, and if you don't believe in it too, you're 100% against them, and that spills over to sports.
Well, and I understand we have the ability to document these things now in a way we didn't have
also true
10 years ago, which I think, number one, we can document it, and number two, I do think there's something to when everybody's holding up their phone recording you, you feel like you've got to do something if you're already on the edge.
Right.
I'm not going to back down from that Virginia Tech student section. When on a normal Wednesday or something, you might realize maybe that's not the best approach. But I feel like we've seen a lot more of that just in the last few months.
Yes.
And again, I know no one listening to the pod has been a party to any of these.
Yeah, we're not worried about that.
But don't do that. Don't let your friends do that. Don't let them be the one who everybody's passing around on the internet going, look at this idiot. Just don't let them do that. Don't let them get in the situation to be in that situation.
Quick reminder that we're brought to you by UNC Health, champions of the gridiron. We highlight an MVP from the previous weekend, and it's brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. Adam, I will mention Josh Downs again with 9 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. And Jaquarius Conley had interception, had a fumble recovery, tied on the team with 7 tackles, team high, and one of those was a tackle for loss. So my Jacksonville crib brethren, Jaquarius Conley, along with Josh Downs, both with some terrific games.
Honorable mention, Javari Ritzy, graded out the highest of any Tar Heel defensive player, according to Pro Football Focus, which of course we know is reliable. Only got 15 snaps, but that was in a tough environment, and I bet his snaps go up, and hopefully the production does as well.
Okay, Adam, anything else from the Tar Heel perspective on anything before we get to our interview with User?
No.
Okay. Pro Madden player and commentator. What a wild world we live in. Let's get to our conversation with our guy User. We'll come back, and Adam has a list and more coming up on the Carolina Insider. Now, normally here on the Carolina Insider podcast, we always let Adam introduce the guest, but I am so excited today because this is my guy who we have on today. He and I dominate, mostly him, dominate the Madden landscape. He is User, professional Madden player. Now, wait, User, do I have this? Are you the reigning champion of the Carolina Panthers Club? Is that right?
I mean, I was never knocked off, you know what I'm saying? I was never defeated. You know, I stepped into the booth, but currently, there is no more club champions, but Manu was the last one. But, you know, last time I played him, I took care of him. But you're right, Jones.
We got User joining us today. Really excited to talk about the world of professional Madden play. Adam, how close are you to a professional Madden player, Adam?
I'm as far from that. Like, User's one pole of the discussion, and I'm the other pole.
So, User, thanks so much for being with us, dude. And first of all, how does this happen? How did you get to this point? And we're looking at User right now. He's in this incredible, spaceship gaming room. How do you get to this point?
I started when I was young. My uncle used to babysit me and my cousin, and he was a terrible babysitter. Let's just be honest. He just sat us in front of a video game, which was a Sega back then, and we played Madden. And so that's how I passed the time. That's how I was babysit. They just put the video game in front of me, and it just happened to be Madden. And I grew in love with it. And me playing sports, it kept the competitive juices going when I wasn't able to play sports anymore. And just to keep the competition going, and took it professionally. And now, fortunately, I was good enough to, win some things.
Can you just kind of look around and describe for the people who can't see you where you're sitting? Because it looks awesome.
Well, I'm actually up in my theater. And so this is where I normally stream. I have a three monitor set up. I got a crazy computer. I don't know what's all in it. I'm not a tech head, but I know the guy who built it. He built it and he made sure it had everything that it needed. And, I got lights and stuff everywhere because not only do I play the game professionally, I also do a lot of commentating for EA Sports. I'm fortunate to be one of the few guys that can actually play the game and, step in the booth and get in front of the camera and talk as well.
So I'm guessing your computer is not a MacBook. What kind of computer is that? How do I get a computer like User?
Oh, man, this computer is custom built, man. I'm talking about lights all over. It has the next thermostat with the pictures and graphics on it, the fans. It's, the RGB hard drives with the lights on it. It's a whole bunch of stuff on here, man. You know, it's tech-wise, I got to save them on my Twitch channel of the specs because a lot of people always ask the specs on your computer. But me personally, I don't know it. I just trust them when they say, hey, man, your computer's going to be good. You don't have to worry about it.
So can you describe what is a traditional day in your life? What happens? I mean, we say, oh, he's a professional Madden player, but what does that mean? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, up until probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I used to really, because I grew up in the waste management business. I was a trash kid. My dad owned his own trash company. My grandpa was in the trash. And so I worked on the trash truck since I was probably about 12 years old. I learned how to drive a trash truck when I was 16. So up until that, that's what I always did. I had my own waste management business. And really, I always played the games on the side. And when I had the opportunity to actually play in the booth and all that, and I never, you know, you're doing something, but you never really like it, enjoy it. You're just doing it because that's how you survive. That's how you pay your bills. That's how you feed your family. And so I always did that. And I told my dad, I hate it out here. You know, when I get off and I play video games, you know, and I'm doing stuff like that, it's fine. And even when I was off the truck and I was just doing stuff with contracts and dealing with people, I realized I'm not a people guy when it comes to customer service. You know, that's just not me. You know, it's like you're calling me with complaints. I'm like, I don't really want to deal with this, you know, but that's the thing about business and customer service. You have to be able to deal with that. So when I had the opportunity to actually be in the booth, and I was very smart with my money that I received. I'm really not a person that spends a lot. So it may look like it, but it may look like it.
That's an investment for you, though. That's an investment. You're just putting money in your craft.
Plus, you wrote that off for taxes. Correct. That's a business expense right there. You got to have your theater.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, Adam. So what I really did, I invested a lot of my money. And fortunately, I was prepared when COVID and all that stuff came. And I always made sure that my bills was always something that I could handle. And so now, you know, I just play Madden. And, you know, when I invest, I do other investments like stocks, crypto, real estate, stuff like that. And, you know, my dad, I pretty much passed the trash company back to my dad. I was like, you know, you can have it. You can do whatever you want to do with it. But I'm pretty much out of it. And so he decided to sell the company actually probably about almost 11 months ago. So now I just sit back, I chill, I play the game, I host commentate, and I wake up, deal with my kids, my wife. You know, my kids just started school back Monday. And for the last year and a half, I got used to them being at home. And I'm like, yo, this really sucks that they're not here. You know, people are like, oh, you really enjoy being around your kids? I'm like, actually, it's different. My kids, you know, I was raised a bit different. So I raised my kids well, man. You know, I say, hey, I need something. They got me. And actually, I asked my daughter for so much, she changed my name in her phone to Bring Me, because I'm always like, hey, bring me this, bring me that. And I'm like, and my middle child, she helps me record all my videos. And I'm talking to my wife like, I don't know what to do. I haven't made a video since they went back to school this week. I don't have a camera girl, you know. But, you know, things are starting to get back to normal around here. Kids going to school. So that's the situation I deal with.
Can you give us the play-by-play of what the conversation was like when you said to your wife, honey, I'm going to be a professional Madden player. And that's what I need a big theater with a fancy computer and some cool lights and seating. So let's get on making that happen.
Well, actually, I've been with my girl since I was 16, you know, so it's almost 19 years now. And trust, we've had a lot of ups and downs when it comes to this video game. I remember her and my mom, when I first started dating, and she was like, he plays the video games too much. And she convinced my mom to take my PlayStation and hide it up under her bed and all this type of stuff. And then I actually ended up winning a trip to go to Hawaii and play for $100,000. And then they was like, you know what? You might be pretty good at this thing. Let me start supporting you. You know what I'm saying? And because she did that, I did not take her with me to Hawaii. I took my dad. I was like, you know what? You didn't support me. You tried to sabotage my career. I'm taking my dad. You know what I'm saying? So she's always known, like, you know, he plays the video game. This is what he loves to do. This is his hobby. She'd rather have me up here playing video games than just out in the street running around. And when it comes to actually the game room and the setup and everything, I've always been one of those guys, like, the whole house is my wife's. The whole house. Kitchen, office, den, bedroom, everything. You know, they may try to tell you that you have an input or design, but you really don't, guys. You really don't. It's the whole house is theirs. That's why you have to have a man cave. You have to have a room, a loft or something. You got to at least have one space in the house that you say, you know what? This is mine. Let me design this. Let me do what I want in here. And growing up, I didn't have like a lot of toys. I didn't get to have like a whole bunch of things. So now in my room, I have a whole bunch of figures and posters and comics. And I call them figures, but my kids say they're toys, Dad. They're toys. Like, you need to stop trying to mess it up. I'm like, listen, these are collectibles. Don't do that. You know? But so it's just understood. Like, look, he has his room upstairs. The whole house down here is up, is her domain. So up here, I do whatever I want to do.
When did this change as far as kind of being a niche thing to starting to become so much more mainstream? Like, was there a couple questions? Was there like a certain gamer or two that helped usher that into the more mainstream? And where do you think it's going as far as that is concerned right now?
You know, when I first started playing when I was in college and I won the Charlotte, the Madden Challenge to go to Hawaii, I thought for sure that, you know, it was blowing up and it was going mainstream. But because the internet had just started, we was playing games online and YouTube and all that. Really, when you look at it down the road, you know, when you first see it, you're thinking, oh, man, this is it. But it actually took about 10 years later for it to get to where it is at now. And, you know, EA, they kind of took a break off in that period. And when they came back around 2016, because they've always done TV shows. And to be honest, and this esports thing, Madden has always been the front runner. I know you might have other games like Fortnite and, you know, League of Legends and Dungeons and Dragons and all that type of stuff. But Madden has always been a front runner because they've been putting on tournaments. They've been doing shows on TV and ESPN, like Madden Nation and stuff like that. It just so happens that all the other games started to catch on internationally, and now it grew to be esports. But the esports for Madden has been there long before it was really even called an esports. And so now, seems like that all the other games that are picking up now, calling themselves esports, whether it be Rocket League or the knockout game, all those other games have helped build it up to say, okay, this is actually a career path. This is actually something you can do. And I would say the transition really wasn't with Madden, because they've been doing the same thing that they've been doing, doing shows, doing tournaments, having stuff on NFL Network and ESPN. It's the fact that other video games and other communities are also blowing up, growing up beside it. I would say really when Ninja stepped up on the scene and started to blow it up, and he got that $100 million deal, it was like, okay, this is official. Somebody's paying people to watch this stuff, you know? And, well, you know, once one person gets signed, then the door opens for everybody.
Tell us a couple of Madden tricks I can use to beat my son.
How old is your son?
16.
Oh, you don't have a shot. you don't have a shot.
I used to throw it to the tight end all the time, and he couldn't stop that, but now he's gotten smart to that, and so I need something else.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, he's 16. He's in his prime right now. He's just now touching getting right in the door where his prime is going to be at. You don't have a shot, man. When I tell you, not only does the kid knows what he's doing, but he has the internet. He has YouTube and Twitch. You don't have a shot at him. it don't matter what I tell you, he's going to adjust, and you're going to get popped. And you're going to be like, user, you told me this, and you just don't have it. I haven't even seen your son play, but I know you have no shot because he's 16 years old.
So, okay, user, how much – I know I don't have to tell user this, but don't be modest about this, user. How much better are you than a regular player?
I'm going to be honest. It's they're like tiers. Like a lot of people sit back and say, hey, man, for instance, they had the Madden Challenge, right? And I've been commentating professionally full-time with EA for the last 2 years, so I haven't competed. So this year they worked it out where they said, hey, you can play in the first tournament and we'll see how it goes from there. You get popped, you know, you come back to the booth and we'll do the shows like regular. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. So I did it because I miss competing. I love suiting up. I love the competitive juices. Now, this year, you had to be the top 232 player to make it. Now, I got buddies that used to be tough back in the day. They've won some things and stuff like that. Now, this past week, they couldn't even make top 232. You know, I streamed my whole time. I streamed the whole time, laughed and talked with the chat. I finished like 54. The last game, I lost. I'm not going to take nothing away from the guy. But if you pay attention, I really wasn't focused in on the game. But at the end of the day, there's a big difference between the top of the top and the tier guys. It's like in the NBA. You know, you may look at somebody like a Brian Scalabrine and say, you know, he's trash. But then when you actually get on the court with him, you're like, yo, I had no shot. You know what I'm saying? He might be a bench rider and might not be that good, but you have no shot. And there's so many times that I've had to play people, my friends, uncles, they say, oh, man, you know, I think I'm pretty good at the game. You know, I got a chance. You lost to this guy. I'm like, bro, you do not understand the level these gamers are at. You know, most of the time when I play anybody that's not a pro from a general pop, I'm easily beating them by 50 points. It's just, it doesn't matter, you know? So there's a big difference between playing a pro and somebody that plays professionally and somebody that just picks the game up and plays for fun.
All right. Can you give us a couple of terms that we can use so that we sound a lot smarter when we're either playing Madden or just talking to someone who is in the gaming community? What is some lingo we can use to sound good, sound cool?
The lingo. You came to the right person. Let me tell you. All right. So when you hear the word book, that means an interception.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you hear somebody say to the Baja or to the apartments. Now, to the apartments, that's what my guy Derwin James kind of trended. That means you're taking an interception to the house. Or when you hear the Baja, that means you're taking an interception to the house. That's also a lingo that Dub kind of coined. Then we also have the lingo adjust. When you hear adjust, it's not you making an adjustment. It's an adjustment to the adjustment. And when you're playing Madden, there's always moments in the game where you have to make adjustments to stop the opponent. So you may hear a guy, you know, do something nice or get a stop. And he says adjust. And what he's saying is that he made an adjustment to the other player's adjustment. It's just not a regular adjustment, if you understand what I'm saying.
It's the next level adjustment.
Correct. So you might even say adjust, you know. See, what else? If you hear someone say they're getting sticky, ooh, they mean they're really doing a lot of juke moves, a lot of finger work. It's a lot of guys say he got them fingers. You know what I'm saying? Meaning, you know, he can really move his guy. He can juke and make a lot of good moves. And so that's what they mean by sticky. And I think that's.
Yeah, that's more than Adam can handle already. Yeah. I promise. His head is already exploding.
When's the last time something happened that made you take a minute and go, man, I'm really doing this? I am doing what, if you had told 16-year-old user he could do, he would have been like, this is the most awesome life I've ever heard of.
Adam, this is insane. This is absolutely insane. I wake up every day, you know, and I'm like, I get paid to play video games. Like, it's insane. Like, it really is insane. All the time, like, my parents, a lot of parents now, they're different. They support you. Hey, this is great. You know, let's do it. I'm supporting you. My kid's going to be a pro gamer. In my era, oh, what are you doing? You're going down the wrong path. This is it was almost like a gateway drug playing video games. You know, what are you doing? You have to do something with your life. And I remember, like, so many times my parents saying, hey, you got to get off the game. You got to stop doing that. And me playing the game, doing what I love. And it's crazy because you always hear, you know, you see those motivational speakers, just do what you love and it, everything will work out. And like, yeah, uh-huh, sure. Yeah, sure. And I've always played, every year I always buy the game. I always lock in. You know, it's Madden has taken me so many places that I would never have been, from Turks and Caicos, Hawaii, you name it, almost every state I've been to multiple times, from up to Oregon, Seattle, places that I should never have been. You know what I'm saying? You know, playing the video game, and now to be able to do that professionally, to wake up and truly enjoy it and to get paid to do it, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's something that I thank God for every day.
How did you go to all those places to play? Because, like, you can play right there where you are, but it sounds like you've gone all these other places, like Turks and Caicos, to play Madden.
Yeah, well, because that's what I was saying, that EA has been doing this for years. So back in 2007, you know, when we went to tournament, you used to always go to Hawaii and play at the Pro Bowl. So that was one of the places where they had the Madden Challenge. Then I think it was 2009, they moved the Pro Bowl to Turks. Well, it wasn't a Pro Bowl, but they moved the tournament to Turks and Caicos. And we were out there. And all the time, EA, they always have these pro football players, you know, at these events. So you meet all these players like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Chad Ochocinco, you know, Champ Bailey, just all these great Hall of Fame players, you know, at these events, and you're playing Madden with them because they love to play the game. And so that was before, and you remember, really now, since the pandemic, everything has went remote. But before then, we would just do these shows and you know, and then air them live. But we had to travel to these events. We had to travel to these tournaments, like the Las Vegas Madden tournament. They did that for 3 years in a row. That was an awesome thing just to go out there and play Madden and then go to the Bellagio, you know. But now everything has kind of changed because of the pandemic where we're doing tournaments remotely. But they did have what they call LAN events, and that's when you know, playing tournaments live face-to-face.
User, it might not be like this anymore, and I apologize because, as you might guess, I'm not 100% up to date on everything that is happening with Madden at all times. But what is it where there's like the comp, where there's the relationship between the teams and like and Madden players? So like you and the Panthers, for example, like what is that? What was that relationship?
It's cool. Fortunately, so I've been, you know, like I said, I've been around the block. And with the Panthers organization, we had the old owner, which I can't get his name in my head right now.
Jerry Richardson.
He used to own Jerry Richardson, correct. When Jerry Richardson was here, and you got to understand the NFL, people think that the NFL is like some big organization and they work together on everything. The NFL is kind of like the United States. Every state, yeah, you're under the United States, but every state kind of operates a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have some organizations that want to support and want to be involved with Madden and esports, like the Dallas Cowboys, man. They've been full steam ahead. You know, they have Complexity Gaming, and they signed Drini, and they put it all together, and they've really been trying to push their esports, having them up in the stadium, banners, and all that type of stuff. Now, when Jerry Richardson was here, He didn't care. You know, it depends on who's the owner. He didn't care about it at all. Then when the new owner, Tepper, came in, you know, and he came in, he cared about it. He brought in, I remember I was talking to the lady that he hired. She said he brought in like 21 new marketing people and made like a esports team where he wanted to get the Panthers involved and stuff like that. And so it really depends on the organization. The Panthers now with Tepper, he's doing a great job of trying to be involved in whatever esports and Madden and EA that they could be a part of. And some organizations are not like that. I remember down in Atlanta Falcons, my buddy Boogs, he won. And they wouldn't even give them a retweet. So it's like, it depends. Every organization is different, but the Panthers, you know, they retweeted, they shouted me out. They brought me to events that they did, what they call those fan events, you know, mm-hmm. where, yeah. So they're great. They're awesome. Fortunately, Tepper's an awesome owner, and I'm glad he's the new owner.
How do you make sure?
It sucked when old buddy was there for sure.
A lot of people thought that. How do you make sure that you don't get old in this business? Because the new group coming in is always younger and talking different and doing different things. How do you make sure you don't age out?
That's tough, you know? That's a really good question. I would think I'm always in the mix. You know, I'm just always in the mix. Like, when Madden's dropping, I'm always up in the Discord. I was just talking to Skimbo this morning. I said, man, we went to bed early last night. And it was 3:30 when we went to bed. And I was like, you know what's crazy? We're calling it going to bed early at 3:30 because we've been staying up at 6, 7 a.m. playing, locking in and all that type of stuff. So in the Discord, you know, I think you just got to, I think people kind of age themselves out. You know, when I see a younger kid come in, like these new guys, and I might not know them, like spamming buttons or salty or somebody like that, the first thing I do, because they already know that I'm established and I have a platform, you know, I'm never that person that says, oh, man, you know, he has to earn his name or he has to da-da-da. I always say, hey, man, what's going on? Welcome, come by. And I'm always willing to talk and meet. You know what I'm saying? I'm never that guy where, you know, I feel like I'm too bougier to do something with somebody, because you never know that young guy that just came in the game 2 years from now, he might become a star. And I remember that with Drini. And me and Drini was in Vegas and we were doing some show and it was his first time there. And he was so nervous. And I was like, yo, man, relax, relax. And I was like, put your bandana on, man. You know, have some swag. You good at the video game. Like, I've always played him online, but it was just like he actually got old enough to travel and do stuff like that. And I told him, I said, man, you know, you're going to win. You're going to win some tournaments and you're going to be tough. And Drini now is the best man player in the world, ranked number one in the power rankings. He's won 2 belts and has won the most money in the MCS. I chill with him all the time in the Discord. And it's like, and I remember us riding go-karts when I first met him out there in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's why you have to be open, because you never know. My grandparents always told me, you never know who you're stepping on may be the next person you need to pull you up. So I feel like always just being a great person will keep you in the game.
How'd you come up with your name? Because breaking news, user's actual birth name is not user. But well, how did you come up with your name?
Well, you know, the official is One Great User. And so when I was young, I've always, when I was like in high school, middle school, I've always, you know, watched Muhammad Ali, and it was like, you know, he was the greatest. And he was like, he spoke greatness before people really realized how great he was. They didn't really realize how great he was till after, you know, and then that's when he was like, he's the greatest of all time. But he always said, I'm the greatest. And so I was like, well, you know, if I want to be great, I got to tell myself I'm great first. And I tried to make a gamer tag called the greatest and all this, the greatest alive and all that. But it was all taken. It was all taken, you know. And so I knew I had great stick. And in the game, they've always called, when you got a pick, they called it a user pick or a user tackle or a user catch or something like that. So I always knew that I had good stick skills. So I said, first I tried to put in great user. That wouldn't work. So then I was like, you know what? It's only one. And number one is my favorite number. Probably shouldn't tell you that, because these hackers out there, like, his favorite number is one. Let's figure out his codes. But yeah, so I just put it all together, One Great User, and that's how it goes. And I heard a story. One of my producer friends, they said, how did you watch Tron? That's a kind of a old movie, and that's where One Great User came from. I'm like, nah, I never heard of that, but, you know, I might start telling that story.
When a new iteration of Madden comes out, when the new year comes out, like, how busy do you become when the new game comes out? And then also, what changes would you make if you could make changes to Madden?
Man, when the game first come out, I'm gone. My wife, I haven't seen or spoke to her in weeks. it's so serious. Like, you know, she called me yesterday. She's like, you know, I know we do this every year. It's just rough. She's like, how much longer do we have? I'm like, listen, this is the last week and things are going to slow up for a couple weeks, you know, but it really is real busy, because not only am I doing events and, you know, stuff like this and shows. I got a gamer saloon. I got my own weekly show with Next One Up that we do Wednesday night at 8. You know, I'm doing projects with EA. Tonight I'm playing Trey Thomas on the Gamer Saloon first event show that they got doing. I forgot the name of it. I just try to show up for stuff like, okay, you want me there at this time? Okay. You know, so and then not to mention playing the game. Playing the game, trying to be competitive. And another reason why I play the game and I lock in with these pro players and I try to stay up on everything, because I know what it takes to be good. And when I'm talking and telling people and commentating in the game, I want to make sure they know what's going on, because a lot of people can watch video games and they don't understand it. And they say, oh, that's just cheese. You know what I'm saying? And they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand how the guy broke down and made that defender move out of the zone, you know? So a lot of times that's why when the game first come out, I'm locked in and I'm playing like I'm competing, because not only do I enjoy it and I like being competitive, playing with my buddies in the Discord, but it also helps me be informative when I'm doing these shows with EA and stuff like that. And it's things that I would change for the game. I feel like the game right now is in a great spot. Like, we first started, didn't have any defense, but once we played All Madden this past weekend, I feel like it's in a great spot. It just needs to fix the bugs. We have like some adjustment bugs where you can't see the icon. Some bugs with the new features where the momentum, the squiggly thing. I call them the squiggly things, the silly string
thing. The official term.
I don't know the official term, but we call it the squigglies in the Discord. Like, man, the squigglies is up on my screen, you know? So fix that little bug where that doesn't show. If they want, I don't want them to touch the cover two deep zones, but if they do, I understand. It does need a little bit of help getting to the sideline. But other than that, you know, and they could touch the flats to get to the sideline. Other than that, it's a good game. This is one of the best games and funnest games that they've had in the past couple of years. And I really enjoyed playing it this past weekend on All Madden.
I forgot to ask you, we got a little bit of corporate synergy here with the Level Next. What is that?
So Level Next is another esports organization that Learfield opened up, and they do everything from Rocket League and a whole bunch of other games. But my part is I handle the Madden aspect for them. They're actually going to be bringing out, they're in partnership with EA, with the NCAA. And so, you know, they do the Madden tournaments. Last year, they had the first Level Next Madden National Championships. This year, they're bringing that back. That's where me and you, Jones, we got on.
Oh, yeah.
We commentated and did that. We had Puckett. We had Adam Witten. So the whole nine, man. That's the tournament that they plan on doing every year for at least $150,000. If you go to college, every college – remember when it first started, it was just like you had to go to a certain college. Now it's every college. Doesn't matter if you go to a community college. Long as you have a college email address, people, you can suit up and play for that chance to win $150,000. Jay Wall won that last year. And also, not only with that tournament, we do a weekly show called Next One Up, where we bring on pro Madden players, college students, you know, any and everybody that loves the game of Madden and wants to deal with esports and the college aspects, and, you know, chop it up with them, do little challenges, play games, have giveaways, and just have a good time.
When you meet people in person who you've known online or playing online or whatever, how often are they what you thought they would be?
Most of the time, I would say it's about 70% chance that they are who they are, but they might not look the way they sound. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Most of the time, they are who they are, man. When you're building these relationships and playing with these people online, man, you know, it's so great because you have years and years, and it's like a brotherhood, and you can go to any city and hang out with them, go grab to eat. You're like, okay, well, you look, I'm in Atlanta, I hit up Boogs. If I'm in Florida, I hit up Los, and I say, hey, man, you want to go to the casino? You know, if I'm in Florida, I hit up RG. Like, man, RG went out to eat in SeaWorld and all that stuff with our wife and kids. So it's just like you build relationships that last a lifetime. And, you know, it's the relationships that you build, they even longer and stronger bond than the people you have in high school. Because you look at high school, you're talking about, man, it's, you know, four or five years. And I've known RG going on about 14 years now. You know what I'm saying? And so Skimbo just got married. Unfortunately, he invited me to go to his wedding, but I was in, I can't remember, somewhere, vacation. Puerto Rico. I was in Puerto Rico at the time, so I couldn't make it. But at the end of the day, those are bonds and relationships that, you know, last a lifetime. And meeting these guys playing on the video games. I know our wives, our girlfriends think, you're just playing video games. Cut it off. Why are you talking to this guy? Why did you give him your number? But you can really have long-lasting friendships with people that you met playing a video game.
Good stuff. We appreciate users' time, and all of our interviews here on the show are brought to you by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds, and at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. So put down that phone while you're driving, and let's have a hands-free NC to learn more. And you can also find an agent. You can go to trustedchoice.com/goheels, trustedchoice.com/goheels. Also brought to you by our friends at LS Tractor. Don't let your outside chores or projects cause you to miss any Tar Heel game action, whether you need to mow it, till it, or move it. Let LS Tractor help make short work of all of it. Their current offer of a free loader with your purchase of a tractor. That's right. A freeloader. But hurry. A deal this good isn't going to last forever. LSTractorUSA.com. LSTractorUSA.com. LS Tractor. Now you can do more for less. Adam, your list.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Let's start with happy thoughts about Kyle Seager, who we talked about on a recent pod. Kyle Seager hit two homers on Sunday. His 29 go-ahead RBI this season are the most in the majors, the major leagues. He's the leader.
The big leagues.
And he's got 17 home runs since the All-Star break. That's second most in the American League.
Wow, that's a lot.
Second most in the American League. He's having a great year.
Yeah, he is.
So congratulations to him. We should have him on the pod. Jones, you elected to blame me for Kennedy Meeks not dropping his single in time for the most recent pod.
Yeah, that's true.
Which technically was accurate. It's called Saturday Night Interlude.
Yeah, we had a couple of people ask us, what was the name of it? Saturday Night Interlude.
But here's the trick. Kennedy Meeks' artist name is Ken, K-E-N-N.
Yeah.
So you can't just look up Kennedy Meeks on Spotify. Try looking up Ken, K-E-N-N, Saturday Night Interlude, and I think you'll find it.
All right. If Adam has accurately told us the release date this time, I will put in some of the song here. We love to talk, but now we social distance. Had you close to my heart, now it's a new addition. See, girl was sage, but in range, I'm in range. And at this age, my soul is clear from all the pain that I caused in those days. Leave a message at the beep just in case I'm not home and I'm away. Congratulations
to Steve Robinson. He is going to be an assistant coach at Arizona.
Yep.
Tweeted this weekend.
That very hashtag so classy tweet.
His family's headed out to Tucson, so good opportunity for them.
Yeah, certainly wish nothing but the best for Coach Rob and his family.
We need to give away some tickets.
Yeah, we do.
We asked you, based on your knowledge of Miles, you've seen his work, you've essentially heard his voice or a very close reproduction thereof. What do you think Miles looks like? A lot of good submissions from folks who have, honestly, a pretty accurate picture in their minds of Miles.
Yeah, if you just took every picture that we received and jammed them into one, it probably would be what Miles actually looks like.
I saw quite a few that I thought, wow, they sent an actual picture of Miles. Oh, wait, that's not Miles. But Alan Minton, you, sir, were closest. And so we've got some tickets for Alan. Alan, we already have your email address because you sent yours in via email, I think.
It was a DM, but I think that...
We got it on the computer. I remember that. It wasn't a letter. We'll be in touch. Watch for the Owls.
I'll reboot this thing and see if we can figure it out.
Now, look, I know that this pod might have been, it's had some depressing moments. None as depressing as what I'm about to tell you, which comes in an email, an actual email, from former potty winner, Susan Yaud.
Wow.
Who belted in her potty in the seatbelt and drove it to Blacksburg. But it's I wonder if maybe she didn't take it into the game, and that's why things went poorly.
A potty can only be so powerful, Adam.
Susan sent us this article from ABC 11. She knows that we're very concerned about what's swimming in the oceans with us.
Mm.
Fish with fangs caught in Massachusetts pond is not supposed to be in U.S. waters.
That's not what I wanted to hear.
Dateline Canton, Massachusetts. An angler in Massachusetts hauled in a fish covered in slime and sporting a mouthful of fangs.
Mm.
Mike Powell, the angler in question, says as follows. Let's be honest here, says Mike. I'm out here chasing big bass.
Mike's not beating around the bush. He's going to cut right to the chase, sir.
To catch that when I'm not looking for it, I mean, I was wearing one of these things that tells you your heart rate. That thing was going through the roof. Look, when Mike's out looking for big bass, he wants to keep up with his pulse.
Yeah.
Powell was fishing over the weekend when he hooked the nearly 6-pound, 30-inch creature in the Canton's Reservoir Pond. Don't go fishing there. I didn't know how to fight it, because this thing was jumping left, right, he recalled. Mm. A combo.
Yeah.
Eventually, he held in his hand a fish he had never seen before. It turns out Mike caught a northern snakehead fish.
A lot of words that I don't like.
Get this. It's a species of fish that is not native to Massachusetts, not native to the Northeast, not native to even North America, Jones. What is at play here? The fish is from Asia. And it's illegal to have this type of fish in the United States. Let's go to Todd Richards with the Massachusetts Wildlife Confederation or whatever. He's the head of fish in Massachusetts. Yeah. He said the fish was most likely in someone's fish tank. But when it got too big,
yeah,
they released it into the reservoir.
I think it's a problem of people who have these exotic pets and just let them out. Like, remember, what was it this summer? There was something where it's like like a leopard.
Oh, I was going to say.
Or a tiger. There was a tiger walking through some neighborhood?
Yeah, but then there was also that weird cobra that got loose in Raleigh.
Yeah, there's a Raleigh cobra.
You know, when you put all these things together, it's not sounding good for us, Jones. So back to Todd with the head of Massachusetts Fish. They are an injurious species federally. So you can't possess them. Massachusetts Wildlife regulates the possession of the fish that can live in our waters.
Not very well, apparently.
Yeah. We don't issue permits for snakeheads, says Todd. I think that's a solid policy. Yeah. Like, I would vote for Todd for re-election on that platform alone. Prior to Powell's weekend encounter, only 3 other snakeheads have been documented as being caught in Massachusetts since 2002. I fished this lake my whole life. And when I saw that, I was like, this doesn't belong here, said Mike. Richards and other wildlife officials said it needs to stay that way. The good news is these are all adult fish. We have no evidence of reproduction, which would be a different ballgame.
Yeah, it would be.
According to Richards.
Just stay in your house and use GoPuff to get all you need, and then this will never happen. By the way, a lot of people agreed with my assessment about the school pickup line.
Including several people who were in the pickup line when you were talking about the pickup
line. And let me just say, I received some offline communications as well about this.
From Chapel Hill Schools?
From some former pod guests and pod listeners. And let's just say it's a problem right now.
Is it as big a problem as the snakehead fish?
That I don't know. But I do know this. I am not looking forward to the work week rebooting here simply because I know I have to wait in the lines. Adam, what else? Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. So, couple things. Don't forget, triple header video pod this week. Today, Wednesday, Thursday. We're back later in the week with an audio pod as well on Friday. We will, of course, preview more in-depth the Georgia State matchup, have a great guest, and more. But for now, we are going to let our friend, professional Madden player user, and the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm user. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, Big Green.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.